Time to talk some Oregon football. They're off a bye week. Game Friday, 7:30 at Berkeley. He is the fourth-year head coach. Always appreciate the time. We welcome in Coach Mark Helfrich. Coach, thanks for joining us. I know we haven't spoken since Media Day. You know, people always ask, how's the team? How are the Ducks? How are you doing?
Well, we're in battle mode right now. Certainly not from a record standpoint anywhere where any of us want to be. But our guys have continued to work hard. Our staff continued to work hard and positively toward getting this right. And yeah, like you said, our next challenge is Friday night against Cal.
Now, being a little older, I've followed sports pretty closely for about 45 years. And from Bobby Knight to Mike Bellotti, after a bad game, I've heard a couple philosophies about the game tape. Some say burn it. Some say we got to watch it and dissect it. After Washington, you and your staff, what was the approach to try to find some answers?
Well, we had a little bit of everything in this one, just because of offensively there are some things, defensively and special teams wise, but also the combination of our coaches went on the road recruiting, and then I stayed back and met with a bunch of guys, and so it was a little bit of burn it and throw it away, a little bit of hey, we just need to tweak this one thing, and then everywhere in between.
Now, I had a friend bring this up. When you have a high-profile job like yours, part of the coaching community, you played, you got friends, family, colleagues, and I'm sure you hear from people all the time. Would you say the calls, texts, and communications come in more after a big win, like, say, the Rose Bowl, or maybe when you hit a rough patch like now?
It's a different group, yeah, for sure. And it's funny, the guys that reached out or have been talking with to kind of pick their brain, everybody's been there, you know, in some form or fashion. And there's a lot of great coaches that I've had the good fortune to have relationships with, and so you know, the quality of individual that has reached out has been pretty cool. And then also, by the same token, it's amazing how similar frustrations are. And, you know, for one team, it's whatever, offense, defense, or special teams, or youth, or this or that. And there's a lot of similar issues out there in the world.
Now, you know, speaking along those lines, it's always a delicate deal dealing with fans, because they're invested and they're passionate.
Sure.
And you want that. But, you know, they watch a game and spend 4 or 5 hours a week on Oregon football. Would I be accurate in saying, not only do you all not get their frustrations or maybe anger, but considering it's your livelihood and what's at stake, multiply those frustrations by like a million?
Well, our fans are awesome, and even in the Washington game, the fans that, you know, there till darn near the end with the score looking the way it did, I thought was amazing. But yeah, the passion and the volume that with which our fans express themselves, hey, we get it, and you know, by the same token, it's you gotta warn your kids a little bit more about going through a patch like this, that everybody that thinks things are great and everybody's great and everything's great, that's not really true. And when it's this bad, the pendulum certainly swings the other direction.
Talking with Duck Coach Mark Helfrich, I've heard a lot of different thoughts on the week off. Last year it was kind of odd. There was a Thursday game. 2 years ago it was a second week in November.
Mm-hmm.
But considering this four-game skid, you'd already lost some players to injury, a lot of youth. Was the timing of the bye this year welcomed? And kind of what was your message to the guy during the off week?
Well, we're going to make it the best. You know, we're going to make the schedule whatever it is. We're going to make it at least seem like it's the best. I think, you know, football by nature, unfortunately, you can't just, you know, it's not like basketball. You can't play the next day or 2 days from now and kind of get revenge on what just happened. So in that way, it's a negative. But also, yeah, just trying to some of these guys to kind of press pause and talk about things, get in their heads a little bit more and find out why certain things are or are not happening. And so we took advantage of it that way, got our young guys that aren't playing, which really isn't that many, got them a little bit more work and did some scrimmage-type situation stuff with them.
Now, late in that Husky game and after, there were some former players express themselves. Then you had one of your freshmen and Cam Hunt kind of chime in. They talked about attitude. And you addressed it. You know all the catchphrases, spoiled, entitled. handled. So while that might be frustrating, does it make any sense that it might be a good opportunity now that a lot of cards are on the table to kind of have a chance to address these issues?
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I think, first and foremost, there's never any time ever when everybody is quote unquote all in on any team. It just doesn't happen, and if you're 6-0, it's the backup quarterback or the backup tailback or the second string whatever who's not happy with their role, somebody that's redshirt, all those things, and you're managing that constantly. And when it's in this situation, it's the one person thinks this one little thing is it, and it's not. And those guys were very emotional. They know what they said is not true. I mean, that's completely inaccurate. Are there some guys that aren't all in? Absolutely. And that again is that battle that you're always fighting, and certainly taking advantage of the bye week to address that, both that the instance of that, and then how we discuss that or don't discuss that publicly. We talked about all those things.
Now, I know it's not always the most popular opinion around here, and you hit on it, and of course the Ducks dominated the Huskies for a dozen years. Can we take a moment to acknowledge how loaded that team is top to bottom? And I know you've known him for a lot of years. What Chris Peterson has done since taking the reins, I mean, that team to me seems like they're legit for any conversation.
Well, they've been extremely talented for the past, several years, many years, going back, with Sark and even before that. And I think the big thing right now is everybody's healthy. Last year they it was really the same guys offensively, minus one of the tailbacks and then minus John Ross. And so getting all those guys out there healthy, playing a true freshman quarterback in Browning last year, along with their young offensive line, those guys are definitely clicking, and they've been playing great defense for the last several years.
Coach, we hear a lot about leadership in particular this year since your roster had limited seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And I get successful people don't make excuses, play the next man up card. But, Johnny Reagan lost on defense, Ty Crosby, Devin Allen on offense. Could you kind of describe maybe the difference of having your experienced guys lead on the field as opposed to, what they could do limited in the locker room?
Yeah, and that's something coming in this season we knew, and it's not unlike our team, what about 4 years ago, where that the vocal leadership, we knew that had to come from the coaches, and so that was something we were kind of not anticipating, certainly the injuries, but and we knew that we had to be a lot more involved in some aspects of that, in terms of just kind of not manufacturing, but putting those guys in more leadership positions, leadership roles going through the off season. And then, Johnny, unfortunate. The other guy, Dwayne Stanford, is a fantastic vocal leader and worker, along with Devin, who's a tremendous guy and still remains to be a tremendous vocal leader now.
Final couple thoughts for Coach Helfrich. When a true freshman steps on the field, you kind of have to make a different evaluation. In Justin Herbert, you have a young guy who starts against Washington. His last start was against Jesuit. Facing the best defense in the conference. It might be simple, but I saw a guy who just looked like he belonged. What was the evaluation from you and your staff?
I think that's a great way to put it. Yeah. My last piece of advice for him on the field was, hey, just pretend he's playing Willamette High School, right? It's a W on the side.
Nice.
They play slightly differently, but I thought he's just a composed guy. He really had one series where he was a little bit off, just from a rhythm standpoint in terms of where his eyes should be, but particularly after the first play from scrimmage and how he bounced back from that, I thought was very impressive.
Now, finally, Cal Friday night. They've had an interesting season. They beat Texas, made a late defensive stand to beat Utah, but particularly what they do on offense, that Sonny Dykes style. What are you and Coach Hoke and your defensive guys seeing that pops and is going to be a challenge on Friday night?
Yeah, well, they have firepower. The transfer quarterback, really huge impact. Transfer receiver, and then a couple of the young guys that can really stretch the field. Very talented at running back as well. So they've got a ton of weapons. And then the biggest thing, or not the biggest, but one of the big key points, obviously, other than turnovers, which is always a huge one, will be special teams. We need to amp up our special teams and take it over.
Coach, I know you're on the go, a couple thousand items on your plate, just wrapped up practice. As always, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. You all travel safe to Berkeley, and good luck against the Bears this week.
All right, Steve, appreciate it. Thanks.